good morning. Those that are beside you are called people. We used to know them as people. And it's good for the people of God to be in the house of God with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to worship God. If you believe that, say amen. So good. Welcome. And everybody's kind of making their own way and finding their own way. There's plenty of seats up in the balcony. If you want to sit in the choir loft today, you can sit in the choir loft. And want you to be comfortable and feel like that you have a good opportunity to listen and enjoy the Word of God and sweet spirit in the place. It's a great day for us, a lot to share with you, and a lot that the Lord is doing. And I chose a hymn to begin. It'll be on the screen. The hymn is entitled, Revive Us Again. We've been through a season where I do believe that God's people need to be revived and that we would be able to rejoice in the greatness of our God, rejoice in His wonderful salvation, and that from our lips would ring hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Stand with me if you would please. God's people, lift your voice and let's see the Spirit of God revive us this morning.
Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, was shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who was born all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Good morning. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another great day, Lord. Lord, it's so good to see the family of Christ joined back together in church. Lord, we're just around family. We need family. Lord, we need each other. Lord, right now as we go through difficult times, we know that the fear comes from the devil. God is love. God is all love. He loves everyone. As Christians, it's our turn now to go out and share the gospel of light, Lord. It's our turn to go out and share what you have given us in the Bible, Lord, is to be saved. We know that you are sinless, Lord. We know that you sent your Son down to die on the cross for all of our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we just know today that today is a salvation day, Lord. I just pray that if someone's here today that they have not accepted you as their Savior in their heart, to have a personal relationship with you. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Christ the Lord. Lord, I just ask you to be in this house today and allow someone to walk down the aisle, give them bravery to come down and accept the Lord as their Jesus, as their Savior. Lord, I just ask you to be with Pastor today as he brings the Word of God to us. Allow him to bring it the way you want him to bring it, not as he wants to bring it, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to be with us as we turn and wave to each other now, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
And you hear Brother Jeff playing. I chose this little chorus during our greeting time. We have come into his house and we've gathered in his name to worship him. I trust that's your desire today. The second says, let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name. Boy, there's something that's not easy to do, but I trust we can do it in this moment as we worship Christ the Lord. Lift your voice now. Get in the moment so that the God can prepare our hearts.
We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ.
Be seated if you would, please. So good to see you, church family. Trust you've had a wonderful week. And knowing the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the goodness and the kindness of God, it's so good to see your face and your presence. How many have been watching faithfully online? You watch online wonderfully and faithfully. We'll greet our online service here, those that are watching all around the world. And we're delighted to have you. We miss you. I wish you could see the people. They look great. They really do. They look wonderful. And we're making our way back slowly. My dad taught me something when I was a little boy I never forgot. He said, Tommy, if you're going to have peace in life, sometimes you just got to let people be people. And sometimes you just got to let people be people. So we all have comfortable, and we all have comfort zones, and we all have how perspectives and opinions, and so things in the way that people come back, we're letting it be unto them. A man stopped me in the lobby at our first service, and he said, Pastor, he said, thank you for not making me feel like a leper. He said, this is the first time I've been here, and he said that you guys have been patient with us, and His job and certain things kept him away, but I trust that you just feel a sweet spirit in the place. I'm looking forward to when the whole church family gets back together. I can't wait to do communion. I'm excited to do the Lord's table pretty soon, and I'm not sure how we're going to do that, I'm going to throw it at you or what we're going to do, but somehow, some of my pastor friends, they sell these little packets where they have the juice and the bread already there, and you just kind of do that, and that's no problem. They said it's just a little weird, and so I don't want it to be weird. If we have to do that, we'll do that. But I'm ready to come to the table of the Lord. I haven't done it yet until everybody feels comfortable to come back. It may be a little while, but we'll have that moment. It's a great day for us. It's a day that we celebrate accomplishment, a day we celebrate graduation, and in a moment, you're going to meet folks that are graduating within our church, both on a high school level, a collegiate level, or even a postgraduate level. And we're excited to celebrate with them tonight. We have our graduation for our Christian school. And we've got about 10 K-5 students that'll be graduating. We've got 6 students that'll be graduating the 12th grade. And we're so excited to celebrate their accomplishment. We're asking the church family just to watch online. Unless you've been specifically invited to be here by one of the graduates, then of course you're able to come. But I mean, look at the building. It's almost full today for the separation there, the distancing. And with the crowd tonight, it doesn't take many people to fill the building. Don't feel bad if you didn't get a personal invite. I'm sure they only invited the people that give cash. So you should be happy that you didn't get an invite, and thank the Lord for that, right? And so that'll be this evening at 6 o'clock, and I'm excited to do that. By way of opening, let me just share with you so you can have some understanding. This Wednesday night we will open our youth department. So Brother Simeon, Brother Turner are ready for this junior high and senior high students on Wednesday night. We'll have them in there. I don't know how you socially distance teenagers without seat belts, but we're going to do the best we can. And that will open this coming Wednesday. The youth group's been meeting on Zoom, and they're excited to get back together. And so we're planning on that. A week from today, we will begin to open up our children's ministries. We will only open up our children's ministries in the 10:30 service. Why? A couple of reasons. Number one, just to roll back kind of slow. Number two, staffing. A lot of our folks that worked in children's ministries for positive reasons, maybe they're nurses or maybe they're policemen or firemen or somehow their job, they don't want to bring anything into the children's ministry. Some of them just lost their desire to like children. I don't know what happened. That's just the way it is. And so that will be that. So we'll do 10:30 only. That will be nursery all the way through the fifth grade. And we'll begin to roll out slow. We'll temperature check the kids coming in, so you'll know that none of the kids going in there will have a fever or anything like that. We'll do our best. We're cleaning the building and being prepared accordingly. So that will be a week from Sunday. It'll only be in a 10:30 service. I would say to those of you for right now, maybe that don't have children, and if you could come to the 8:30, there is a little more room in the 8:30 service. I know that you're probably not awake. That's okay. Many of them sleep in there. You can stretch out. You have a whole pew nowadays to do that. But that would maybe help us for a few weeks for space issues. But if not, then I understand. But just whoever that would be available. A week from this coming Wednesday, we'll open up our Kids for Christ on Wednesday night. So the youth will start first this Wednesday. And then a week from Wednesday, we'll take our nurseries and our children for Kids for Christ on Wednesday night. And just begin to get back to some type of normal. I understand we have to make adjustments, but I kind of miss normal. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. God has been so faithful and so good and so kind and so merciful to us during these days. And I've heard wonderful testimonies coming out of our church family for how God has moved during these unprecedented days. And so praise the Lord for that. Don't forget, this Thursday we have a drive-by bridal shower. You know days have changed when drive-bys go with bridal showers, right? So Ashley's getting married. You see her picture there. Marrying just a wonderful Christian man in Braden. I believe they're going to end up in Indianapolis teaching in a Christian school and serving God in that capacity. And so get them a gift. And, you know, the gift of cash is always of God if you can do that. They're registered somewhere. I don't know where that. Beverly took care of that. But they're registered somewhere. You know how that goes, men. Your wife buys the gift and signs your name, right? Liars. Amen. Okay. So drop something off for them, and their wedding is at the end of June, and we'll be excited. The song I chose is a song that usually the second hymn is the one that God used to prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God, and it is this case. And I'm preaching on the responsibility of God's people to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. This is a song that we normally sing in the month of September for missions, but I think it just fits the need of the hour now as we see the world in the way that it is. We that know the joyful sound, we're to waft it on the rolling tide, we're to sing it above, we're to take it to the lands far and wide, for people need the Lord. And what a truth it is that Jesus does save. I would ask this. If you are one of our graduates, whether you've graduated high school or college or the postgraduate degrees, while we're singing, just make your way down here on the front row. Stand by Brother Simeon, stand by me. I'm going to have you come to the microphone afterwards and just give your name and where you graduated from. Pastor, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, I have a $100 bill in those bags down there for you. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a bold lie. But you come and do it. Your church family loves you. By the way, church family, we love our graduates, don't we? Give us a moment to honor them and clap for them and love them. All right, stand. Let's sing about the salvation of God. You move now, graduates.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye island of the sea, echo back ye ocean cave, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumphs overtuned, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest cave. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
All right, you may be seated. Wonderful. I'm going to ask it this time. We'll start with our high school graduates. If you graduated high school, come up here to the platform. Come on, Ariana Lee. Anybody else graduate? All of you, all the high school graduates, come at one time. Come on. Come on. As you can see, in our church, the women are the brains. Right? You can see that. Okay. Wonderful. I want you to just begin and come give your name, give where you graduated from, and if you're going to go to school, to work, or where what your plans are, and then come right back there, and then we'll have those come. Come on, Neil.
My name is Lanique Jackson. I'm graduating from Shanahan High School, and I'll be attending the University of Florida and majoring in biology and minoring in innovation.
Good morning. My name is Ariana John. I am graduating from Plantation Baptist Christian School, and I'll be attending Bob Jones University in the fall with a major in communication disorders.
Hi, I'm Shelby Beasley, and I'll be graduating from Plantation Baptist Christian School and will be attending Pensacola Christian College studying elementary education.
Good morning. My name is Perry Newell. I'm graduating from Plantation Baptist Church, and I will be attending the Coral Springs Fire Academy.
Hi, I'm Hannah Callahan, and I am graduating from Plantation Baptist Christian School, and I will be attending Broward College in the fall.
Right there. All right. Sounds like they know what God's called them to do. And serving in the fire department, going to school, studying. Wonderful. Okay, let's have our college graduates come at this time. We're going to save the best for last, Dominic, because you're the man. No, you come up here, but literally, you're the man, right? So we'll save you from last. Let us know where you graduated from, what degree you graduated with, and if a desire as far as how you'll use that degree or what the plan is. Let's just start right here, lady.
Good morning. My name is Candace Hinkle, and I'm graduated from Carlene Nursing School. My plan is to continue with my schooling, for my bachelor's degree and to let the Lord lead me wherever he wants me to go to serve for him with my education.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Hansen. I graduated from Pensacola Christian College with a BS in business management, and I plan to do construction management.
Good morning. My name is Madison. I graduated from Pensacola Christian College with a degree in business, and right now, just in the job hunting phase.
Good morning. Dominic Adepietro, just graduated from good old Pensacola Christian College with a Bachelor of Science in Business with an emphasis in management. And as of right now, I'm just working at Publix, still on the job hunt, just like Maddie said. And I just want to give them a shout out to Lindsay and Maddie. I wouldn't have been able to make it without them, so thank you guys.
Hi, I'm Joy Allington. I'm a little soft-spoken, so I took it off for you guys. I graduated from Everglades University. I have a Bachelor of Science in Alternative Medicine. I plan on, well, I'm already doing it actually, helping other people, private consultation, and then I'm going to try and find a job somewhere, maybe. We'll see. Amen.
All right. We're so proud of all of our graduates. We're excited what God is doing in their lives, what God will do through their lives. And I just can't wait to see what that happens. Pray for them. Pray that God will, as they acknowledge him, that he'll direct them in all their paths. Would you, you don't have to stand because it's better if you just stay seated. But would you pray with me, please? I'm ringing just a little bit, just a little echo up here. I need to let the church know that we had an emergency call come in just a moment ago. Patrick and Melissa Coyne. How many know Patrick Coyne and Melissa? Maybe they're new. Severe abdominal pain and some other things. They've rushed her to the Cleveland Clinic Hospital. Patrick called and said, please pray for my wife. So we'll pray for her and we'll pray for our graduates. Then we'll have our offering, gentlemen, and have our offertory. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father God, just to stand here and hear all the accomplishment that has been afforded in the lives of our folks has just been a delight. Lord, the Bible says, where there's no vision, people perish. It's wonderful to see vision, even if that vision is not unfolded yet. As some have said, we're praying and trusting the Lord. Well, that's vision, to trust the Lord. Lord, I know all of the graduates, and I know that they have hearts for you. I know that their lives radiate the glory of God, the power of God. And I know, God, that they have trusted you and walked with you, and you've brought them through these days. And I hope and pray that they know that their church family is proud of them. Their church family stands with them. Their church family will pray with them. And we're so excited for that. I pray your richest blessing upon them. God, I pray that you would continue to keep them from evil. Now, whatever job you give them, that they would know that the main job is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for their families. I think about the sacrifice of families and all that goes into an education. It does affect the whole house. It affects the whole family. It affects mom and dads and spouses and children and all of those things. And so thank you for this wonderful accomplishment in these families. Lord, there were others that weren't able to be here today. I pray they just know the blessing of their church family as well. Lord, I lift Melissa Coyne to you right now. Emergencies seem to happen. She's on her way to that hospital, and of course, the way it is now, she'll be separated from her family, but she cannot be separated from her God. And so, Lord Jesus, you're the great physician. I pray that you would just touch her and heal her and watch over her life, God. So many of our folks have seen the wonderful hand of the great physician in their lives. I pray for our service today. I pray that you'd help me to preach with power and authority. God, the lesson today is so needed. It's so needed for the church family. Lord, just cement it into our hearts and then cement it into the practice of our lives. You are our great God. We have none other but thee. We need no other but thee. You are our great Savior. For that we are eternally grateful. Bless our time now. We'll trust you and we'll thank you and bless the offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you listen to the offertory. There's a gift here for you. That was great the first time I heard it, and it was greater the second time I heard it. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. I trust that you have a scripture this morning. If you do not have a scripture, then hopefully and prayerfully you have one on your device. Maybe there's one in the pew in front of you. If you'd like to pick up and receive that, make your way to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 4 would be our text this morning. Thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us today and it's your very first time, normally we would ask you to fill out a connection card that's in the pew in front of you and put it in the offering plate. And folks are a little bit skittish of that, and I understand. I would simply maybe ask you to make sure to stop by the welcome desk on the way out and let us fill a card out for you to reckon your presence. It's a delight to have guests with us, and we're so excited about that. Our text today brings us again to the fourth chapter of the book of John. This will be the second message that has been preached out of this chapter. I believe I have one more message. As you see, if you have your Bible open, there's a lot of verses in the chapter 4 of the book of John. There's 54 of them there. It's not the longest chapter in the Gospel of John. I think John chapter 6 is with 71 verses. But a lot of verses mean a lot of truth and a lot of opportunity. And so we've been making our way through that slowly and carefully and yet wonderfully and powerfully. And so I'm preaching a message today that I have entitled, Lift Up and Look On. Lift up and look on. The look on part is not looking ahead or looking forward. It's talking about looking specifically. And I'm preaching a message today to the church family that will be for the believer and for the unbeliever. And I want you to understand that the message today is is designed to just be a loving reminder in our lives. As we make our way through the message, I'll say some things about the disciples that may sound harsh, but they're not harsh, and I'll say them softly. I say that because I see myself in the disciples as God has a lesson for them, and I hope and pray that you see yourself in the life of the disciples, and the truth that the Lord Jesus is communicating today would change our lives. Every service and every message that I preach, if you've come or listened at any time, you understand to me, context and setting is so important. You can't just jump into a message and start rattling off things. People need a platform. They need a process. They need a filter. They need a way to receive information. And one of the ways that I think is important when it comes to preaching is to understand the context and the setting of the moment so that you understand the character, so you understand the climate, so you understand the communication, so you understand the culture, all that is going on. And then as the truth is unfolded, you see it, and then there's a wonderful application in our lives. Let me just make a general statement that I hope and pray that you believe. This is not an archaic book. This is the living Word of God. This is not a book that was filled with truths back in the caveman days. This is a book that is relevant and truthful for our life today. And so when you come to church and the preacher preaches from the Bible, one of the main burdens of pastor, and I pray this all the time, God, enable it to be relevant, enable it to be practical, and enable the message to be applicable so that you have something to take home out of here when you leave as a nourishment and a sustenance for your soul. Our text today is verses 27 to 38. Yes, they're in the middle, but I preached to you the 26 previous verses last week, and I will touch on them just a little bit. But I would like to read you the setting, and then I'm going to give you the lesson that Jesus gives to his disciples. The setting is in verse number 27, and it'll take us all the way to verse number 34. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. John chapter 4, verse 27. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ or the Messiah? Just a side note, it sobers me to know that Jesus knows everything I've ever done in my life. Boy, when I was a kid, they used to terrify us by saying, when you get to heaven, there's going to be this giant movie screen. Was anybody else ever terrified with this story? Do you know where this story's going? And everything you ever did is going to be shown on the movie screen. You know what I used to think? I don't want to go to heaven. That's terrifying. By the way, just let me say, when I get to heaven and everything I ever did shows up, it's going to be covered by the beautiful blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew, that took me back. Okay. Verse number 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, my nourishment, my sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I think we'll stop right there and let me just let you know what is going on. Upon this came his disciples. If you remember the 26 verses previously, the Lord Jesus has made his way into a region called Samaria. If you are a Bible student, you understand the division between the Jew and the Samaritan. You think you have cultural division today. It was no greater than it was back then in these days, about that began about 450, 500 BC. About that time, the Assyrian army came into the land of Israel, and as was prototype for the conquest, whenever they conquered a nation, they would carry the people away captive into that nation. The Assyrian people, however, when they came in to take away the 10 tribes, they left some of the people there in the city of Sychar in the region of Samaria. And what the king would do is he would bring his people and they put them into the land. So you had this massive transfer of population. And it wouldn't take long for the little Jewish boys to see the little Assyrian girls. Boys always notice girls, right? And it wouldn't take long for the little Assyrian girls to notice the Jewish boys, or vice versa. And it wouldn't take long that as they began to grow up in that mixed culture, that they would begin to fall in love and that they would begin to marry. And then after they were married, then children would come. And so a whole culture of Jews mixed with Gentiles, which their own Jewish people called them half-breeds and other names for them, this culture developed in the region of Samaria, disdained by the Orthodox Jew, disdained by those that were outside of that region. Therefore, the Bible says that the Jew and the Samaritans had no dealings. Here's how far the animosity and the hatred went, that if a Jew wanted to go northeast into the Galilean area, instead of just cutting right up through the land of Samaria, they would go down to the south. They would make their way over to Jericho, which I've been. They would cross the Jordan River to the east of Jericho. They would go into what today is the country of Jordan, and they would go north into the land of Galilee. They would never, a self-respecting Jew would never step foot into the region of Samaria. When the Lord Jesus left the Judean area, he was headed to the land of Galilee, and he told his disciples, I gotta go through Samaria. You talk about a cross-cultural, unacceptable move. It blew their mind. And yet the Lord Jesus makes his way into that region. The message I preached to you last week showed that the Lord Jesus had to go there because there was a woman. A woman by typology had a deep, deep thirst in her soul. When Jesus meets this woman, he meets her at the well. When you read these verses, you find that she's there at the sixth hour of the day or at 12 o'clock. No woman, self-respecting woman, would want to draw water at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's blatantly and brutally hot. Yet, this woman was not allowed by the other women of the city to be at the water in the morning. There was division. When you study this woman's life, you will find that she had five husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. So you can understand why the women of the city were probably a little bit nervous about this lady. And because of the burden and the choices and the consequences of her life, she had to get the water at 12 o'clock. Symbolic is that because we know from the text that not only did this woman have a physical thirst, but she had a deep spiritual thirst. And it's this woman that Jesus, even though he had never met her, knew her. Even though you may have never met Jesus, he knows everything about you. He loves you. He cares for you. And Jesus knew the burden of this woman's soul, and he knew that she needed eternal life, and he knew that she needed a relationship with him. So because of that, the Lord Jesus purposely seeks her out and strategically places himself where she would be at the moment she would be. And when she comes to the well, he presents to her the gospel. He presents to her the Messiah. He presents to her a message of life and of hope and of change and of truth. And I believe at that well that she believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. It's one of the great salvation moments in the Bible. Are you still with me? You're still with me? Okay, good. At the end of that, or at the beginning, before that conversation ever happens, we know from the, go back to John chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 8, we know that the disciples were absent of this meeting because they had gone into the city to buy food. We know that Jesus had traveled. He was wearied in his journey. We know that he was hungry. The disciples were hungry. So he had sent them into the city to buy food. So when they come back from Publix with their groceries, they stumble in upon this, verse 27, came his disciples. It's the tail end of the conversation, right? And the Bible says that they notice Jesus is having a conversation with this woman. But when you read verse number 27, nobody asks him, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" They see him talking to her, but they're not interested in it. They don't even reference it. Why? Now listen very carefully and stay in your seat. She doesn't matter. Now, matter is a word that, boy, has been in our vocabulary very, very much. In the disciples' mind, when they come into this conversation, the reason they don't ask Jesus about her, they don't care about her. A couple of reasons why they don't care about her. First off, she's a woman. Don't take that offense. Second, they don't care about hers because she's a Samaritan. And the Jews have no dealings. And to a Jew, that Samaritan doesn't matter. Now, praise God, even though Jesus is a Jew, he's like any Jew unlike any Jew that's ever walked the face of the earth, right? Loves all people. So they come with their groceries and they're looking for a place to eat. They see the conversation and they just ignore it. Well, Jesus is just going to do his thing. Just let him do his thing. But we're not interested in that. Once the woman leaves her water pot and makes her way into the city, now Jesus is freed up. And the disciples come to him and say, "Master, eat something. Eat." No question about her. No question about the moment. No question about the situation. Jesus then takes a step back. And he says, ultimately, "I'm not hungry." The disciples, that blows their mind. How in the world can you not be hungry? Jesus says, in verse 32, now stay this all preparation here. Stay with me. I have meat to eat that you know not of. That's interesting. The disciples are still perplexed and they look and they say, "Good night, did somebody bring the guy a sandwich? Has he already eaten?" And Jesus then looks at them and Jesus says, "My meat or my sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Now I need to be careful because I have all the kids in the room, but men have two drives that they will not relent on. One of them is a procreation, sexual drive, and the other one is food. Probably those two drives will be the strongest drive a man knows, even in building an empire or work or whatever. So Jesus, in effect, says, I understand the drive of hunger. I'm hungry, but I have something that even quenches or satisfies me more than physical nourishment. And that satisfaction for the Lord Jesus was doing the will of his Father and finishing that work. Now, I want you to see what the will of the Father was. Would you turn one page to John chapter 3? You should know this. John chapter 3, look if you would at verse number 16. You're probably familiar with this. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you've believed on Jesus for that, would you say amen? Now watch verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Go to John chapter 6. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 38. Even Jesus again himself, in his own words, recognizes his doing the will of the Father. Verse 38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven." What a statement. You could preach a million messages on that. "Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now let me test your Bible knowledge. Who sent Jesus? The Father did. And the Father sent Jesus for the Father's will. And the Father's will for the Lord Jesus was not that he would condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so the sustenance that the Lord Jesus is talking about here, the satisfaction, that which even quells the drive of hunger, was him doing and finishing the Father's work, which is the work of salvation, which was the work of the souls of humanity, that which he would ultimately do by going to the cross, being crucified, being buried, and risen again. And Jesus says to them, "Fellas, it is more important for me to do the will of the Father than it is for me to physically eat." Hold your hand here. Go to John chapter 20, please. Come on. You need to see John chapter 20. We're coming back to John chapter 3. I didn't turn the 8:30 crowd like this, but they were asleep. Oh, Lord, where's my verse? Where's my verse? Lost my train of thought. I went to John chapter 20 for them to see. There it is, right there, just like I thought. Verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so,'" finish those three words, please. "Send I you." Okay? So as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends the church. Go to the book of Acts, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You should turn one page and you should be in Acts chapter 1. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in" where class? "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." Pastor, what are you trying to get me to see? I'm trying to get you to see that as the Father sent the Lord Jesus to accomplish the Father's will and to finish the work, which he did in his death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord Jesus has sent you, child of God, man or woman, husband or wife, teenager, graduate, child, church family. The Lord Jesus has sent us to accomplish his will, which is the Father's will, and the Lord Jesus has put within us the Spirit of God. I trust you know the Spirit of God living inside of you. The Spirit of God to enable us to do that. Okay, so let's just recap real quick. The Father sent the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, "There's nothing more satisfying to me on the earth, even food, nothing that drives me more even than food, than to accomplish the Father's will and to finish his work." The Lord Jesus would later look at the church and say, "I'm sending you out, and I want you to accomplish, as I have done with the Father, the will and accomplish the work," right? So now, with that understanding, comes the lesson and the moment that Jesus gives to the disciples. Come back to John chapter 4, please, and look, if you would, at verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, which are already, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus wanted to preach a message and make a point, he would always take something very simple within the culture, something that they would understand, and he would allude to that. He would show how it would work, he would tell how it would work, and then he would make the application. In this culture, he was using farming, and he's using the law of the harvest, and he's using the law of sowing and of reaping. Has anybody in here ever planted a garden? Anybody in here ever worked on a farm? Anybody in there ever planted a seed? Okay. It died pretty quick, didn't it, right? Yeah, you see. Now, we don't plant and sow and reap. We sow at Publix, praise God, and we reap at Publix, praise God, right? That's how that goes down. But in this culture, they understood the harvest. And they understood sowing and reaping. Now, Jesus is going to use this. Watch. To teach men who looked at a culture and said it didn't matter, looked at a person and said she didn't matter, and confront them in what they were looking unto and present to them a priority vision. Bible scholars tell us that from the sowing of the seed to the harvest time was about 4 months. Many Bible scholars say that they're not sure when Jesus gave this, if this was given in the springtime when they were getting ready to do the sowing and then there was the harvest or whatever. But all Bible scholars agree that what the Lord Jesus is talking about here is timing. And he's talking about the moment. Say not that there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, it wasn't the grain field that was already white. It wasn't the grain field he was talking about. He's wanting them to lift up their eyes. What were they looking at? Think about where they were. Think about what they were sent to do. Think about what they asked the Lord Jesus to do. What were they looking at? That ham and cheese. No, they were Jews. It wasn't ham and cheese, was it? Turkey and cheese. Right? So just kind of picture the Lord Jesus over here with the woman. Picture the disciples getting everything all set up. Picture the woman leaving. Jesus, come eat. Come on, your food's getting cold. Picture that weary, kind, patient, loving God who saw in that woman an eternal soul. Can you not imagine the joy that it brought to Jesus when she believed he was the Messiah? Now think about it. He chose 12 to follow him. He invested his life in them. And here he is in this wonderful moment of reaching this woman. And they could care less. They could care less. Come on, come eat. fellas. You don't know what you're doing. Fellas, I need to teach you to something. Fellas, you're concentrating on that which is important, but not the most important. Fellas, you've got your eyes on this physical nourishment, and you've got your eyes on your own food. But I'm telling you, there's a great harvest of souls over here, people dying and going to hell. You need to lift up your eyes, and you need to see people. Let me just say something about the Lord Jesus. Praise God, He sees people. When I was a kid, I was 12 years old, first job I ever had. Back then, they didn't have things called child labor laws. You had the law of your dad. My dad would come and get me up in the summertime at 6 a.m., me and my brother. He'd wake us up, and before we ever had Uber in northern Michigan, we had something called the Dial-A-Ride. And this was this big little, big bus. And the bus would come, and the bus would pick us up. And the bus would take us into the strawberry fields. And from 6:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon, we would pick strawberries. I got paid 35 cents a quart for picking strawberries. I probably ate many more than I put in there. I got well paid, let me just say how that would go. And we did that all throughout the summer. It was our summer job. We enjoyed it. It was wonderful. I learned some things in picking strawberries. And I learned some things about the harvest. What I learned is when it was time to pick the strawberries, nothing mattered more than getting the strawberries at the right time. Sometimes I would show up and they would say, hey, the weather's going to be bad in the afternoon. We got to hurry. Sometimes I would show up and they would say, hey, these berries over here are so ripe that if we don't go get them, they're going to rot. Why do you tell us this, Pastor? Because when it comes time for the harvest usually dictates when the work happens. The harvest would dictate when we would eat. Not every time when you pick strawberries was lunch at 12 o'clock. Sometimes lunch would be at 2 o'clock. Sometimes lunch wouldn't even happen. So you didn't just walk up and say, I'm going to take a 15 right now. No. When you showed up to work and the berries were ready to be picked, it was the harvest that dictated my work. It dictated when I ate. It dictated the time, right? So picture the Lord Jesus. He's ministered to this woman. She's received him. He's sent her. She's went back into the city. She's told everybody, there's the Christ. He lifts up his eyes, and out of the city, he just sees this multitude of people coming. And to him, it just looks like a field of white grain as they're all making their way out. And his heart is just burdened and ripped because these people are going to spend an eternity somewhere. Let me just say this. Everybody in this building is going to spend eternity either heaven or place called hell. Salvation is for humanity. We're all born sinners. We all need to receive the Lord. And we all have an eternal soul. And you need to think about your soul. And Jesus looks on this city of folks and he sees them coming out and he just sees soul after soul after soul after soul. And there's this eagerness and it looks to him like this marvelous harvest. And his disciples are over here and they're just worried about what they're going to eat. And they're worried about their sustenance. And I'm afraid that's happening to the church. I'm afraid that we live in the midst of a wonderful time to reach people for the gospel, but we've got our eyes set on fishing, boating, business, empires, recreation, retirement, plans, food, relationships, houses, jobs, cars, interest, checkers. And just like those disciples, we can see the peoples of the world. But I think that we've got things that matter more to the church today than the souls of humanity. And I think the Lord Jesus would say to his church today, lift up your eyes off your roast beef and cheese and look on the peoples of the world. They need Jesus. Was it a sin to eat? No. Is it a sin to go fishing? No. Is it a sin to make money? No. Is it a sin to build a business? Nope. Is it a sin to pursue a relationship? Nope. But church family, the harvest should dictate to us the priorities of our lives. And the number one priority of all of God's children that have been born again is to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. When you search the Bible, the fields are always the people of the world. The seed that's always sown is the word of God. He grabs their concentration. He looks for their consecration. Look at verse 36. He that reapeth receiveth wages. I got 35 cents a quart. And gathereth fruit unto. Does anybody know those two words? Life what? Eternal. And Jesus is drawing a contrast here in their consecration. He says, now listen, even the grain harvest yields a wage as you work it. But the grain harvest is temporary. I'm introducing you to a harvest that is eternal. And here's what God's people need to understand. That it's one thing to invest our lives in temporary things and to be dominated by the things of the earth. But we ought to have an eternal mindset. We need to see the peoples of the world as people that are going to live somewhere forever. We need to be burdened about those souls. The Lord Jesus is burdened about that. And it seems like our drive is in our physical, our drive is in our sexuality, our drive is in our work, our drive is in our relationship, our drive is everywhere. And yet all across the world, people need the Lord. And we need to understand that we're in the eternal business. We get so dominated and heavy and concentrated because of problems and trials and difficulties in the present circumstances. Sometimes you just got to be reminded to lift up our eyes and look on the fields that are white unto harvest. Jesus goes on to say that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And this is where I'm driving at, and I'll finish with this thought and one other. If you're a believer in here, could you just raise your hand? You know you're saved. Okay, put it down. You're either a sower or a reaper all the time. All the time. You cannot escape a sower or a reaper. A sower is the one that puts the seed in the ground. The reaper is the one that plucks the fruit. Jesus said to them, physically, when you farm, the sower may do the work. The reaper gets the harvest. But when that harvest comes in, the sower is so glad to see what the seed has done. And the harvester is so glad to receive that they rejoice together. That's how the body of Christ works. That's how we work as an army for the gospel. You're either a sower of the word of God, which means you tell people about the Lord Jesus, or you are a picker of the fruit, which means you lead people to the Lord. And that can fluctuate in your life, but you cannot neglect one of those two positions. And I am afraid that we are looking at our roast beef and cheese, and we're looking at the golfing and the business, and we're looking at all of the physical life, and there's this whole harvest of people that somebody needs to sow the seed in their life. I want to ask you a question. Who was the first person to tell you about Jesus? Think about it. Who was the first person that sowed the seed in your life about Jesus? How many of it was your mom or your dad? All right. Just shout out a name or two if it wasn't your mom and dad. Who sowed the seed? A coworker, a bit over here? Sunday school teacher. Best friend. Boyfriend from my mother-in-law. Was that my father-in-law? Okay. Jackie. Co-worker. Co-worker. What about over here? Missionary. Hairdresser. Your hair looks lovely. I got my hair cut yesterday. My barber. She only knows how to cut one way if you want it, brother. What about in the back? All right, right here. Pardon? Your mother. Christian friend. Camp. Sowed the seed. Come on now, think. Who sowed the seed were you? Grandmother. Grandmother. Neighbor? Anybody have a neighbor? Okay. Are you glad somebody sowed the seed to you? Who have you sown a seed to? Somebody planted the seed of the gospel in you, and it took root and it grew. And then somebody came along and harvested you when you were ripe. That seed had done its work. The Lord had spoken to you. And I know one thing about ripe fruit. When you go to pick ripe fruit, you don't have to pull it very hard. You just touch it and it falls off in your hand. Right? Sometimes the person who sowed the seed is not the person that led you to the Lord. Sometimes it is. Brethren and sister and teenager, graduate, old man, we're all to be sowers and reapers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the stock market was up 800 points. We watched the stock market. We watched the news. We watch and wait for that car, that boat, or that thing to go on sale. We watch and we watch and we watch. And Jesus would say, Tom, lift up your eyes. Those things are important and they're okay. But the harvest ought to dictate the priority of your life. Tom, look on the peoples of the world. They need the Jesus you love. Church family, that's our call. The consternation of the Lord. Just look at verse 38. I sent you to reap. This is interesting. That whereon you bestowed no labor. Means you didn't sow the seed. You just were sent to reap. Other men labored. And you're entered into their labors. Now I know in the Greek he's writing there. And it could be something about when he sends them out later. And I understand that. But I think there's an immediate context to this verse. Just help me. The woman came out of Sychar to meet Jesus. Right? Jesus is there. Jesus sent the disciples to Sychar. So somewhere those two people crossed. They're in here buying meat. Jesus is here presenting the gospel to this woman. They come back. Master, eat something. She goes back to the city where the disciples came from. And the whole city follows her out. Why didn't the disciples bring this city out? They knew him to be the Messiah. They knew they could tell the gospel message. Because they went down into that city with prejudice. They went down into that city concentrated on something else. And they went into that city with no thought or intent for the peoples of that city. Pause. And I don't want to do this from the pulpit. I want to do this down here because I'm preaching to myself. I like to hear how I sound. So I want to ask you, where did God send you this week? You went to work. You went to Publix. You flew on an airplane. You spoke with people. You were around crowds. You did business deals. You went to parties. Where did God send you, brother and sister in Christ? And did you even think about sowing or reaping? Pastor, we went to the, it was really important. I understand it's very important. But if we get so caught up in the temporal important things of this earth, when are we ever going to tell anybody about Jesus? This one stings. But in essence, we're no different than the disciples. Peoples of the earth don't matter. All that matters is that I get my whatever, church family. Say not, there's 4 months to harvest. Lift up our eyes. There are people everywhere that God has already worked on. Seed has been sown, or you're to sow it, that need Jesus Christ. We cannot bury our head in our ham and cheese and not see the peoples of the earth. Sobering truth. So, who did you sow the seed to? Pastor, evangelism is not something that I'm comfortable with. I don't know how to do it. It bothers me, but I don't know what to do. Can you help me? Exactly. Let me help you. Number one, get good at it. Practice it. I've led Beverly to the Lord a billion times. Witnessing Christ can be as easy as handing a tract, saying a good word for the Lord, the way you live your life. Picking the fruit can just be simply as saying, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When you're standing there and you see somebody in this overwhelming urge from within you just is crying out, say something, and you're literally paralyzed there, here's what you need to understand. Probably somebody has already sowed and somebody has already watered, and all you got to do is touch the fruit and it'll fall in your hand. That's why you ought to have a track. That's why you ought to be able to tell people about the Lord. Whenever you're that, where your spirit just feels like it's coming out of you to say something, be assured the Spirit of God is at work. And to turn your back on that moment and to walk away, Jesus would say, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I'm preaching myself today. I had two opportunities to witness this week. And I screwed both of them up. I didn't have a track. And I walked in front of a guy. We were the only two in the place. And he said, hey, pastor. He called me pastor. I didn't even know he knew I was a pastor. He started talking to me. And that little voice said, say something. And I wanted to go somewhere. I walked out. You're not the only one that's ever walked out. I don't want to keep walking out. I want to win people to Christ. If you do, say amen. If you're in this building and you're not a believer, I want to introduce you to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. God has put Christian people in your life so that you could come to know the Savior. I beg you to do that today. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, just a gentle reminder today to lift up our eyes. look on the fields. Nothing wrong with building a business, owning a business. Nothing wrong with fishing, golfing, shopping. Nothing wrong with relating. Nothing wrong with rest and recreation. Nothing wrong with those things. But when it's harvest time, when I was a little boy, the harvest dictated when I went fishing. The harvest dictated when I ate. The harvest dictated my work hours. Nothing was more important than the harvest. Oh, it was fun days, but the harvest couldn't rot. Nothing ought to be more important to the church now than the worship of our God and the telling of others of Jesus. We need to be sowing and we need to be reaping. And it is the harvest of a world that needs Christ that ought to dictate how I live my life. It ought to dictate the priorities of my life. It ought to dictate the practice of my life. Lord, there are people in the room today and they're not believers. They've never confessed themselves a sinner. They never opened their heart and believed by faith on the Lord Jesus. You've put godly people in their life. You've shown them some things. I pray today, God, that in the quietness of their heart, they would believe upon you and receive the Lord. Lord, I pray today that a fire would be stirred in the church. Coronavirus, lockdown, riot, protest. Jesus would look at the church and say, don't say wait till it's over. The gospel will shine now. The gospel will shine now. Lift up your eyes. See people. Help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I ask you to stand. We have a song of invitation. We always have our altar open. People of God, men of God will be here to pray and help you. If you would desire to pray, we would love to see you. The song is Have Thine Own Way. Stand if you would. Men of God, be here. Christian, maybe you want to come and pray for some lost soul. Maybe you want to pray and ask God to lift up your eyes so that you see people. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how. Let God have His way. I beg you to let God have His way. And please think, who in the world did I sow the gospel in this week? What will I do tomorrow? What will I do now? Let God speak to you if you would. Just a few verses. God bless you.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am willing. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
All right, thank you for listening. My final concluding thought would be this. As important as it is to sow the gospel, it is equally important not to sow mistrust in the gospel. What do I mean by that? That means as we live our lives, we ought to live them as Christians before people. What do I mean by that? Tell me your testimony at work shows you're a Christian. Tell me if I was to go to your workplace and say, tell me about Jerry Walker. Do that guy can, or that guy loves Jesus. As important as it is to sow the gospel, it's also so important that we don't sow sin or distrust or hurt the gospel in the way we live our lives. So important. Our song to go out is Send the Light. I trust that God will use you to send the light around the world. See you back Wednesday night. Thank you for being here. Your presence has just encouraged your pastor more than I could ever say. God bless you.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. God bless you all. You are dismissed.